What a sight that must have been for Christ to be praying there in the garden. Those old olive trees around. I've been over there and seen that. Some of you have. It's very touching to think about him doing that, doing it for us. Take your Bibles, please. And I'd like to invite you for our text verses tonight. Luke chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. I'm continuing in a series of sermons on winning the lost to Christ, winning the lost to the Savior. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I want us to think deeply and on purpose repeatedly about soul winning. And the last three messages that I preached have been about soul winning. And the first message I preached basically was telling us that the greatest privilege that we have as a Christian is to win somebody else to Christ. Very great lot of responsibility on our part is that we as Christians win somebody to Christ. And then I said in the last couple of messages, basically what I've been saying is that every Christian should be witnessing and winning somebody to Christ. That is a great challenge for me as a pastor to get across to our people. It is a relationship that we need with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're so in love with him that we're not ashamed of the gospel, as the choir was singing earlier, that we will preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has said that every saved whosoever should be on the lookout for the salvation of ever other whosoever. Every saved whosoever should be on the lookout for the salvation of all other whosoever's. And I don't know how to convince God's people of that, but I can just tell you that it is clear in the Word of God. In Luke 14, verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. He's talking about bidding people to the feast. And then in verse 23, he said, and the Lord said unto the servant, that's you and me, folks, go out into the highways and hedges. Go out and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Go out and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. As you notice tonight, the house is not full. But a lot of that goes back to the fact that we must go out and compel people to come to Christ. Tonight's message is how, when, and where to win souls. How, when, and where to win souls. How are we going to win souls? The great answer to that is like Christ. It is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. To be like him in our love, in our concern for the lost. And I believe that would require of us, first of all, a confession that humbles us. A confession that humbles us. What is that confession? It is confession that we cannot do it alone. We must win souls with the help of Almighty God. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul says, not that our sufficiency is in ourself, but that our sufficiency or our power is in Christ Jesus. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you're trying to just win souls on your own strength and your own power, you're probably not going to do it. And you're not going to have much success at it. In fact, you probably won't even try it. But if we are filled with the Spirit of God, then I think we're going to do it. And we're going to understand that it's not us, it's the power of God that is working through us. And that's a humbling thought. It's not that we are sufficient. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, he's talking about, they're bragging in Corinthians about, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of someone else, I'm of Peter, and another says, well, I'm of Christ. And Paul says, we need to get over all that kind of stuff, following and worshiping personalities. We don't need to be worshiping personalities. But Paul says we need to realize that none of us are anything, basically, that we're all equal in the responsibility. And Paul said, I, Paul, plant, but Apollos comes along behind me and waters, But God is the one who gives the increase. So we need some planters, amen. And we need some waterers. And the results are going to come from Almighty God. And that's the only place it's going to come from, through God's strength. So we need a confession that humbles us, and we need a confidence that enables us. A confession that humbles us, and a confidence that enables us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do we believe that tonight? Do you believe that verse? Say amen if you believe it. Amen. Would you agree that that means we can win souls through Christ that strengthens us? I heard him interview a football player yesterday, and they said, what's your favorite verse? That's the one he quoted. And he said, that's how I have made it. I believe that I can do all things through Christ, which would strengthen me, that can strengthen me. And I believe tonight that we have to believe that we can win souls, all of us, every born-again believer, through Christ that can strengthen us. Thank God the Trinity is with us in this business. Do you think the Lord's pleased and the Lord's with us when we try to witness for Him? Do you think that He is on our team when we go out and try to tell people about Jesus Christ? Sure He is. Certainly He's on our team. Certainly He's there to help us out. And Zechariah said in 4:6, it is not by might, not by strength, but by my power, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the power of God that we have to have in order to go out and tell others about Christ and to have any success out of it. We also have to have, thirdly, a conviction that grips our hearts. A conviction that really grips our hearts. And that conviction should be this conviction, that He died for everybody. How many of you believe that Jesus died for the whole world? Raise your hand. For everybody. And that's what the Bible clearly says, that Jesus died for all. And He said that He is not willing that any perish. That's the heartbeat of God. That's God's will. He died for all. He's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. And He has commissioned us to go out and win the lost. That's what our text is about. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. People getting saved and baptized in the church, filling up with converts, with people that have been born again, new converts. Nothing will excite a church any more than new converts. It puts the rest of us on edge, makes us nervous, because they're so on fire and so out and out for God that they come with a flaming fire, and sometimes it may embarrass us a little bit. And even if some of it is done in ignorance, I almost think it'd be better to have some of that fire in ignorance than to have some of the cold, dead orthodoxy. Amen? We need to have fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we're to go out and we're to reach the needy. We're to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we need a compassion that moves us. A compassion that really moves us. A compassion. How can we get that? Jesus had a compassion. He had a compassion that made Him come from heaven to earth. He had a compassion that made Him do what He did. In Matthew 9:36 it says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. What was He saying? He looked with compassion upon them. And He saw them as sheep that didn't have anybody to guide them, no purpose in life, all of those different things that are involved. Isn't it sad that there are a lot of boys and girls, young people, that are killing themselves, committing suicide because they don't have a purpose in life? They say, what's the use? Why live? Why go on? Things are terrible. Things are not going to get any better. And by the scores, there are young people killing themselves, taking their lives. Jesus looked out and saw kids like that. He saw people like that. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And there's nothing any more pitiful than a herd of sheep that has no shepherd. And then we need a care that restrains us. A care that restrains us. We need zeal, yes. But we need to seek the wisdom of God as we go out and win people to Jesus Christ. We don't need to be mean and judgmental about it. We need wisdom. James 1:5, the Bible says, if any man need wisdom or lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none. Friend, if you want wisdom to win souls, ask God for it. You say, well, I don't know how. Just start praying. Have a burden, have a passion, ask God. God will give you wisdom to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. There's another way of saying that, and probably reads better this way in the original language. He that is wise wins souls. Either way, you've got something here that we've got to deal with. If we're wise, we're going to win souls. And a wise person is going to do it. Why? Because God's commanded us to do it. Because we're going to be rewarded for it in heaven. Because there's no other way the gospel is going to get out and people are going to be saved except for those ways. So we need to care. We need wisdom. We need to be careful. We need to witness. We need to tell people. But we don't need to do it in meanness and cruelty and judgmentalism and harshness and putting them down. We need to have a compassion like Jesus Christ and go out and tell them, we love you, and Christ loves you, and we want you to come to Christ. We're for you. We're on your side. We want you to be saved. How should we do it? When should we do it? When should we win people to Christ? Well, and I might just say one reason I'm preaching so many messages on soul winning is because it seems like that if you just preach it once a year or twice a year, people don't really get under conviction. I'm praying to God that we'd all get under deep conviction. I'm not going to let you off the hook. And I don't want God to let me off the hook. And I don't want any of us to let anybody else off the hook. Every woman, every man, every boy, every girl, every person in this building that is saved should be telling people about Jesus Christ and bringing them to the Lord. We're not ashamed of the gospel, are we? When should we win? When should we witness? Continually, every day. We should every day look for those opportunities. John 9:4, John reminds us, he says, work now. Because the day's going to come when no man can work. Work while the sun's shining. Work while it is day. For night cometh when no man can work. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Listen to me. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? That's the absolute truth. Only one life. Oh, how soon it gets away. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And part of that is witnessing. So, when do we witness? Well, it ought to be our mindset every day, looking for those opportunities. But as the Holy Spirit urges us, we should witness. Do you know the Holy Spirit wants to lead us? And the Holy Spirit wants to urge us to tell people about Jesus Christ. I think many, many times we quench the Holy Spirit when He says to us, talk to them about me. Tell them how to be saved. Witness to that woman. Witness to that man. Witness to that boy. Witness to that girl. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, well, another time, some more convenient season. Maybe when things are a little better. We come up with 10,000 excuses. But we should be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Philip was over here in a revival. There was a man out there that needed to be saved. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, get up, go all the way down there, long ways off from where you are, and tell the Ethiopian eunuch how to be saved. And you say, well, that's just too much emotionalism. No, it was the Holy Spirit spoke to him and led him and said, you go tell him how to be saved. And he obeyed and he got saved. And so we've got to stay in touch with the Holy Spirit. It's important that we live right, we pray right, read our Bible, and we're filled with the Spirit so that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will lead us to people that are unsaved. And he wants to and he will. But we've got to walk with him. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I mean by that, being filled with the Holy Spirit? Basically, it's being unfilled with ourselves. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, leaning on Him, depending on Him, looking to Him, asking Him, lead me and guide me, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I am convinced that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to unsaved people. Be willing to tell them about Jesus Christ. Then I think we ought to witness when opportunity arises. What is opportunity? Well, let's use another word, people. Don't you think there's a lot of people in the world that need Christ? And people all around us, the opportunity arises. People and opportunity. I believe this, where there's a will, you're going to make a way. We do what we want to for the most part. Where there's a will, there's an opportunity. There are people all around us. We just have to look for those opportunities. And then we have to be convinced when the need is urgent. Boy, there's some times when it is so urgent. We cannot wait. We cannot put it off. We cannot make excuses. There are some unsaved people that are dying. They have terminal diseases. We know them. We know they're lost. A loved one, a friend, somebody. And we need to go to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall never forget going to a man who was a very wealthy contractor in my first pastorate. He was dying with a dreaded disease, and he knew he was dying. His wife knew he was dying. And I said, I went to their beautiful, beautiful home. I mean, a beautiful home. One of those where you ring the doorbell and it plays four verses, you know. And I went in and I talked with her. She was a Christian. She was saved. She came to our church. And I said to her, I need to go in and I'd like to just talk to him about the Lord. And she said, no, let's not do that. Let's don't disturb him. And I couldn't go in and talk to him. I tried to reason with him, but I couldn't go in and talk to him. He died within just a few hours, day or two, something like that after that, without me getting to talk to him. I had tried to before, but he was never sort of available. But nevertheless, I could not believe with his condition and her and that wife knowing he was lost. And I'm going to tell you, she had some very serious emotional problems afterwards because of that. She never was quite the same. My wife and I talked about it and watched her. She never was exactly quite the same. Friend, there are people around us that are dying. We need to reach them with the gospel. We need to tell them before it's too late. I don't know why it is. Sometimes we have loved ones that are in bad shape and they're dying and we know they're lost and we just don't go tell them about Jesus. That's a sad thing that we would not be doing that. I remember once talking to my wife's brother, and I wasn't sure he was saved, and I was in Roanoke, Virginia, lived 108 miles away, and I went to the hospital room to talk to him and visited with him, and he liked me, but he wasn't all that fine. I'm talking about spiritual things. And I remember getting in my car and leaving, and I thought, well, I'll have another opportunity. This may not be the time. I got out on the interstate, and the Spirit of God said, you better turn around and go back. Because Bobby probably is not going to live very long. And he didn't. But I went back and talked to him about Jesus. And we believe he's in heaven tonight. And I thank God for that. And then we called a pastor that I used to work for. And they went by and talked to him and followed up. And we had that assurance that he had received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Oh, folks, we've got to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we witness? How, when, and where? Well, wherever the lost souls are, and that's everywhere. Let's start with your own home. Mothers and dads, the best thing for you to do is win your children to Jesus Christ. And talk to them about the Lord. You don't have to wait until they come pull you by the petticoat, ladies. You don't have to wait until they pull you by the dress, or guys. I know the Spirit of God deals with them, but why not go to them and talk to them when you sense that they are of age, and get them saved at an early age. Get them saved at an early age. Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that when they come to the age of accountability, even if they're children, if they die lost, they go to hell? And the old, when I was in a convention church years ago, the general idea and the general teaching and thinking was this: that you have to be 12 years of age. When you get 12, you get saved at 12. And that's when the Jewish boys have their bar mitzvah songs. Well, I don't know how that ever got over into the Baptist church and the thinking of those people. But a lot of those rural churches in Louisiana, it was always, now it's, you're 12, it's time for you to be getting saved. Oh, listen, God deals with people a lot before that. And some little boys and girls get saved before that. How many of you got saved before you were 12? My hand's up. Look around to your right, to your left. You see what I'm saying? And I guess it took, you're here tonight. Must have really got saved, amen? You're here tonight. Thank God for it. And I'm glad. We need to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to win loved ones. There are people everywhere that need Christ, but we need to go. You know, when the maniac of Gadara got saved, Jesus was getting in a boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. And I don't know if you've caught this in reading that story, but and the maniac of Gadara came to him and said, I want to go with you. Let me go with you across. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, no, I want you to go back home. And I want you to tell those people back at home what I've done for you. And I believe that's what he did. I believe he went and told them, I was a wild man living in the tombstones and out in the graveyard, and Jesus came by, amen. And when he comes by and you meet him, things change, and it changed for him. And I appreciate the fact he wanted to go on with Jesus across, but Jesus said, no, there's something more important for you. Go tell your family, go back and tell your loved ones what I have done for you. I want to ask you tonight, have you faithfully evangelized your family? Oh, I know when you get with family, there's two things you don't want to talk about: politics and religion. Well, drop the politics, but talk to them about Jesus, because they're living souls that are going to spend somewhere forever and forever and forever and forever. And the difference between them dying and going to heaven or going to hell, my dear friend, could be me, could be you, and very likely will be us. Go to your own home. Go to your friends. Everybody has, I hope, some friends. I have a few myself, I think. I have some friends. No, I have some very close friends. One of my dearest friends is dying. One of my closest friends. But we have friends. You may be in some club somewhere. Model airplane club, motorcycle club, fishing club, golf club, I don't know, some kind of organization, raise chickens club, I don't know, you know, rifle shooting club, or Kiwanis club, or whatever. We all have folks out there that we're involved with, and clubs, and our neighbors, and all of that. And could I suggest to you that where you are is no accident in your neighborhood. Your house is there because you're a Christian, and because there's a lot of darkness down that street, and you need to be the light of the world, and I need to be the light of the world. You say, preacher, have you knocked on the doors of all of your neighbors? I certainly have. I've put in a tract in all of my immediate neighbors down my street, and the street following over another street. I've been out there on rainy days. Been in some of their homes, and some of them know me. They know me from that. If they don't know me from that, they know me from walking Millie. But at any rate, Millie's my dog. Let me explain again. I want you all to know that Millie's my dog. All right? But I'm saying that we're there. You're where you are in your neighborhood because God has planted you there, and any other Christians that might be there. Why not start a Bible club over at your house, a Bible study time? And just bring people in to your house, serve them a few refreshments, and somehow in it, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that for, what are they? They sell everything in the world, these pyramid companies. They sell cards to, you know, Christmas cards and Girl Scout cookies and cutlery and vacuum cleaners and you name it, all kinds of stuff. Why can't we just invite a few people and say, come to our house? and do a little Bible study, and then in the Bible study, tell them how to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some of the far-out groups are doing a far better job of that than we ever thought of doing, and that's a shame. And then go where God has placed you, wherever that is. We gripe about where God's placed us, but God's placed us there. We don't need to live in a pity party. We need to understand that our job, we're there to serve the Lord first, not just to make a living. That's not why you're there. You're there as an ambassador for Christ, to represent Christ wherever you are, and to talk to people, and their opportunities, and a lot of the laws that they say do not give us those opportunities are not so, but there are plenty of times when we could talk to people where we work and try to tell them about Jesus Christ at the home, at the office, at the factory, at school, at the hospital, wherever it is. I love it. I love folks when they're in the hospital and they understand that in God's providence, they're there maybe to tell the person in the room with them about Jesus Christ. Or maybe to walk down the hall when they're doing therapy or tell, or the nurse or somebody who's working with them. And there are people who do that. And they say, you know, if I'm going to have surgery, I'm going to witness for Christ. I'm going to let God use it somehow for His honor and for His glory. That's a good thing. Grab you a bunch of tracts before you go into surgery and tell your husband or wife, bring them up there to my room and then pass them out like donuts. Amen? Give them away. When people mail you duns and things in the mail, they want you to take a credit card. They want you, you know, everybody wants you to take another credit card. They just love you to death until you get behind on one payment, and then they'll send them out and tow your car off. But why don't you just take those envelopes and stick a track in it? It's free postage. Send it back to them. Amen? Let them pay for witnessing. You say, well, you don't know. They might get saved. Hey, are we serious about this stuff, or are we just playing church? Are we playing games, or are we really followers of Christ? Do we say I'm a Christian by name, or are we really followers of Christ? We need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is short. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're already white unto harvest. They're white under harvest. Over in Israel, if you go there and the almond trees are all in bloom and everything getting ready before the harvest time, it looks like it snowed all over the valley and everything. That's what he was talking about. Look! Look out here. They're white under harvest. And now's the time to harvest. Now's the time to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.